the notice on the announcements right across from the sermon outline about our lessons and carols next Sunday and the candle lighting service next Sunday night and then the Christmas party to follow. Our Christmas project. Every Christmas we give a gift to the Lord on his birthday. And this one concerns Jonathan and Heidi Brockman and Amon Jordan. And you can read the details here. But single women in Muslim lands have a very difficult time. Without a husband, they are unprotected. And so there are a number of women who are either widows or who have been driven away by an abusive husband, and they find it very hard to make a living. And Jonathan and Heidi Brockman and Amon Jordan are trying to help these women with their very difficult situation. And one of the ways is to do the sewing machine entrepreneurship, so to speak, where they make these bags and sell them. And as we give gifts to each other, I would just like for us to think about, you know, could we take one of these gifts that we give, as it were, and give it to these women, some Muslims, some Christians, who are struggling to keep alive. So I just appeal to us as a church that we would try to show the love of Christ to these women who are in a very difficult situation. There is a website for Jonathan and Heidi Brockman as well, and you can learn more details of that project. But you remember they came and had those handbags and so on. So I think it's really neat that we can do something like this at Christmas and help these people that we would never see otherwise. Let's pray before we begin the sermon. Holy Father, I pray that this morning as we remember the Lord's death until he comes, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us, comfort us, and draw us toward you, that our lives would be meaningful, that our lives would be significant. Lord, may we live for your glory, and may you use the scripture this morning to draw us and to give us that joy and peace that comes from believing the angelic announcement. May you grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning particularly, we want to see the significance of the cross that's in the cradle. Because peace and joy from God are not related to our circumstances. Let me say that once more. Peace and joy are not related to our circumstances. But peace and joy come from God alone. So often we are bound up in trying to get stuff and trying to make our circumstances such that we will be joyful and have peace with adequate finances, adequate food, adequate shelter, good health, and so on. But, beloved, these things are a side blessing of God. They are not the blessing. And I want us to think of how it is that God can promise us peace and joy without mentioning our circumstances. Peace and joy are from God. They are gifts of God, no matter what our individual circumstances are. the birth of Jesus that we talked about last Sunday in Luke 2, 1:1-7. Augustus Caesar sends out a decree that all the world should be registered. Joseph leaves Galilee, Nazareth, goes up to Judea and to Bethlehem because he was the house of David. Romans didn't call people to their hometown. The Romans called you to a place where you had property. But with the Jews, they decided to do it the Jewish way, and they called them to their hometown. And along with him came Mary, his betrothed, who was with child, and in Bethlehem, she came time to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we've got the birth of Jesus. Now we want news, a proclamation of Jesus' birth. And so Luke says, in that same region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds abiding in their fields at night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, shone around them, and they were very much afraid. Now put yourself in this scene. All of a sudden, this angel appears. And the first thing that the angel says, as God always says to us, is don't be afraid. Don't be filled with fear. Think in our life how much fear drives us. But we're to take all of our fears to God's throne. And he says, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. Joy and news. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a feed trough, is what the manger means. An animal feed trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. These angels that surround God's throne, singing and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those with whom he is pleased. Now, a couple weeks from now, we will find out what the shepherds did. But there's peace and joy declared. Not predicated on our circumstances. News. Gospel means good news. Euangelion is the Greek word for this thing. Eu meaning good. And angel, which is a messenger, angelion, which is good message or good news. Now, let me ask you this. Where were you on September the 1st, 2001? What happened? Yeah, that was the attack on America. 9-1-1. The 11th, excuse me. I always think of 9-1-1. Thank you, Brad. September 11th. September the 11th. Okay? I remember turning the television on and seeing the buildings burning. That was news. It didn't ask me to do anything, it just announced something. It said this had happened on September the 11th. It was just, and when Obama was elected president back in 2008, it just said Obama won. That is news. It is a type of announcement. That doesn't, it's not a philosophy, it's not a counsel, but news is something that has happened. And the gospel is called good news. Scripture has a lot of wisdom in it about living. And as we look at Proverbs, there's a lot of good, thoughtful things that teach us how to live in a way that honors God. And a lot of it is common sense. Pay your bills. Say the truth. Serve others. And be kind. Walk sexually in a pure manner. Control your temper. I mean, these things are very practical ways that we show we love God. After God calls us to Himself, how are we supposed to live? We're to live in a righteous way, and Proverbs is very thoughtful there. But what I want us to look at is the gospel as news. The gospel is not something we do. The gospel is not something that we live. The gospel is not good advice. It is not good counsel. It is not philosophy. The gospel is an announcement. Think of it that way. The gospel is an announcement. And Christmas is joy and peace because of the announcement of what God has done. And the question is, what will we do with that? The shepherds, when they heard this, they made known in a saying that had been told them concerning this child, Luke says. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to the sheepfold, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And I asked the question in the outline, where are we? The proclamation of the good news, I mean, the Son of God is born in a humble and lowly animal room. And the proclamation is made to lowly and humble people. The most difficult thing in our human life is to go down. Because our natural tendency is to build ourselves up. Isn't it true that it's our natural idea to be comfortable, to be doing well financially, to be doing well in a way that makes us happy? And quite often we get very frustrated when things don't go the way we like them to. Even in traffic, what happens when we get into behind two log trucks and a school bus? Because we want to get ahead. Please pay attention to this, that God proclaims the good news to the humble and the lowly. Can you imagine a more boring job than watching sheep at night? All you got to do is wait. All you got to do is just sit there and watch and make sure no animals come. And it's the dead of night, and they're bored, and they wonder, what is my life? And suddenly, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Suddenly, there's an angel that appears. Luke uses this word, appearing, like this, like I'm next to Rosemary here. It's standing next to, it's like the women at the tomb said an angel stood next to them. See? This was so great that right in the middle of the darkest night, this angelic being appears in the Shekinah glory. Shekinah is a Hebrew word which means the Lord caused his presence. It is the same light that was at the Transfiguration. If you remember that story, remember? How that Jesus, the light shone through his clothes from the inside out. The Shekinah glory is like a presence. It's a glorious, majestic lighting. And you can imagine what these shepherds thought. Oh, brother, what is happening here? But see, it's an announcement. And in our darkest times, God appears to us and comes to us. In these times, God uses to show us that his presence is there. What is this news? I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Titus. The book of Titus. It's one of the little letters at the end of Corinthians, Ephesians, Timothy, Titus. There are a number of verses I'd like for us to look at here. And I want you to notice the word Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Paul writes in verse 4, chapter 1, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. And then in verse 13 of chapter 2, verse 12 says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, but to live godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then I want you to look at chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we may become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's much like Mary said in her praise of God. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. You know, we don't usually use Savior now, but I did it with a mechanic that I had to call last week. My car battery died. Never leave the ignition turned on when you leave the car. And I know that. But I had loaned my lawnmower to a friend. And when I brought the lawnmower back, it was night. I left the lights on to light up the shed where I put the lawnmower in the shed. And the lights went off automatically after a minute. This Camry does that. And for some reason, I just walked inside. It was nice and dark, and it was cold. And I got up the next day, went out there, going to see Rosemary, and anyway, he came. He's a Christian, this guy that works at Keysville Auto. And anyway, he came over, and I said, I need a jump. And I said, Jared, you are my savior. And he almost freaked out. I mean, he says, no, I'm not. I'm just the mechanic who's come over here to help you. No, I said, you have rescued me. Because I'm stuck here. And he put this little box, hooked up things, and got it started. But he was a savior. He was a savior because my particular problem was a dead battery. Jesus is a savior when our particular problem is a life is dead. Like that battery, it just clicks, it goes nowhere. That's what saviors do. They rescue. They give us energy. They give us light. We are dead, and they give us life. And when the angels told the shepherds, I bring you good news. I'm announcing something that's never happened. This is already going to be accomplished. God is going to do this. I bring you good news of great joy. Joy is not based on circumstance. Joy is not happiness. Joy is a word that means from the inside out. It's a heartfelt inner realization that we are pleasing God. That is joy. Joy is not based on what happens. And I stress this because as Americans, we want things to work. We are a very practical people. But the joy that the angels announce is the joy that is not predicated on our circumstance. It is the joy that comes from realizing that we have peace with God. That inner joy, it cannot be purchased, but it is a gift of God. As I look at us, I think, what are our desires and what are our goals? What is it we actually want and why? Think about this. As my life comes to an end, as I think about the shortness of my life, I think, what do I really want? What is it we desire? God has already announced that His joy and His peace are found in Christ alone. Listen to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he stopped, because this is the first advent, the first coming. This is what God does. He forgives sins. That's what a Savior does. Jared came over and he forgave me my sin of keeping the ignition on all night long. He rescued me. You know, Christians may commit terrible sins. We can fall away from a graceful life. Think of David. King David commits adultery with Bathsheba and arranges the murder of her husband. Now, to me, that's pretty serious stuff. That is bad. Especially him being the king of Israel. And there were tremendous consequences of that. You can look at David's life, and because of that sin, his family was torn apart with incest, with murder. You remember? Two of his children were murdered by their siblings. There were terrible consequences of this sin. And yet, he was able to write Psalm 51. He was able to find forgiveness. And this is what a Savior does. Even though we may fall into serious sin, salvation is not a legal contract. It's a covenant that God makes with us. And I would like for you to be encouraged this day that no matter how difficult things may be and what we have done, that a Savior forgives. A Savior restores. And that's what he did with David. Key off the angels. For unto you is born this day a Savior, a baby in a animal feed trough. I mean, how strange can that be, even back in that time, to find a baby wrapped up in swaddling clothes lying in a feed trough. That was the sign that was given. How strange a sign for the Son of God. Can it get much more lowly than that sign? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And why were they so full of praise? Because unto you is born a Savior. Who will forgive. And this prompted them to sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he is pleased. Do you notice here that the good news is based on what God has done and not what the shepherds did? Is already an accomplished fact. The angels, if you know something about acting, you know there's something called a Greek chorus. A Greek chorus in a play is a group of people who stand on the side and they sing or they speak and they explain things. And this is what the angels are like, a Greek chorus. And this is God's commentary on the birth of his Son. And glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those with whom God is pleasured, is what the words say, with whom he is pleased. And who is it he is pleased with? Those that are in his Son. God is pleased with those who are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And so Romans 9, that Richard read to us, Paul is amazed that the Gentiles, who were no people, suddenly become my people. And those who were not beloved, I call beloved. And in the very place where it is said of them, you are not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. And that is the grace of God, that He calls people out of darkness like you and me into light. I noticed that there's a verse in Matthew 9 that says, "And the blind and the lame came to the temple, and Christ healed them. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whatever our situation is, whatever our darkness is, whatever our sin has been, and whatever we are involved in, Christ offers to us life. Christ offers to us forgiveness. Christ is our Savior. This is what Saviors do. And this Christmas, I would like for us to think, whatever our troubles are, whatever our difficulties are, that we bring them to God and we open up our hearts to Him and say to Him, "Lord, I am struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, I have this desire and that desire, I have this fear and that fear. And I ask You, Lord, just like the angels told the shepherds, 'Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people.' Because, Lord, You've come to me as a Savior, and I ask You, this Christmas, give me that gift of realizing again, You are my Savior. And no matter what our difficulty is, God is more than able to forgive and to heal and to restore." So I say at the end, this Christmas does not have to be for us just another Christmas with stuff. Instead, we can call on the name of the Lord in the quietness of our own spirit and asking Him to reveal the wonder of the angelic announcement for us individually. I would like for us to experience that. Let's pray before we continue. Father, we have sinned against You. None of us is righteous. Lord, we acknowledge that. And we want to live in the reality of our life. And Father, I pray that as we have communion, as we look at the bread, and look at the juice, that we take our burdens, our guilt, and our failure, and we bring it unto You, our Savior. As You restored David, Lord, may You restore us through this news, this good news of what You have done. May You grant that, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.